Kentucky Lake and Barkley, Sardis, Ross, Burnett, Toledo, Ben, Rayburn, and Conroe.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio, and we're going to start off with Jason Grubb from Alisal Ranch, the resort in Santa Barbara County that just happens to have one of the finest bass fishing lakes probably in the world. And the reason for that is because Jason's the only one that ever gets to fish it, and he puts everything back and makes sure that that it's well maintained. Jason, thanks for coming with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
But let's start real quick about your day job and where you work most times, which you're taking people out and letting them catch, you know, all the fish they can ever imagine.
Yeah, I do a lot of guiding in Santa Barbara County at both Alisal Guest Ranch, which is private water. We have our own private bass fishing lake. I'm the only guide there, and it's locked for the guests of the ranch only, so the fishing's just phenomenal. We average between 30 and 50 bass in a three to four-hour trip. It's very good. Yeah, it's not so bad. And then I also guide Lake Kachuma, which is in Santa Barbara County, which is a fantastic bass fishery as well for both. Right. Largemouth and smallmouth.
Well, I know you travel the world taking people on trips and guiding people and organizing trips, and I know you do a lot more than just bass, but can you give me an idea about maybe your top three bass lakes that you've ever fished?
Wow, that's quite a question. You know, there is such a difference between all the bass fishing lakes that you go to, from Mexico to California to Florida, and especially private water. And I mention private water because some of the best lakes I've ever been on are private. Unfortunately, some of them are tougher to get to. But one public one that's amazing, and I actually host trips and organize trips down there, is Lake El Salto, Mexico, which a lot of you listeners have heard of. It is world famous, and probably the number one bass fishing lake in the world as far as size goes. They just produce consistently big, big bass. Another little lake that's a gem is down in Orange County, California, called Lake Mission Viejo, which not a lot of people have heard of it, partially because it is private, but it made the front cover of Bass Master magazine when it started producing 20-pound bass.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a very interesting little fishery because they stock 2,500 pounds of rainbow trout in it every 2 weeks.
And guess what that is? It's not for the anglers, is it?
No. These huge bass are feeding on rainbows, and they're just growing it to be just huge fish. And I have a buddy of mine that just pulled an 18.5-pounder out. Last season, they pulled a 20-pound 2-ounce. So there's some pretty serious rumors that this lake may produce the next world record. It's well on its way. So a lot of these people are really looking at these lakes that have the possibility to produce the next world record. And most of them have to have an extremely strong food source for these fish. Lake El Salto, they commercially fish it for tilapia. So these bass are feeding on tilapia down there and growing. Mm-hmm. Huge. And then Lake Mission Viejo, of course, is rainbow trout. And a lot of the other California lakes are stocking rainbow trout, which are just, you know, with our weather being warm most of the year and, you know, consistent food coming to these fish, it's producing some pretty amazing fisheries. Mm-hmm.
Well, two quick observations. One, El Salto. I think part of the reason that it's so is such a great place is because of its location. It's not that easy to get to, and most of the people that live in the area, the indigenous, are not all that excited about catching fish and throwing them back. So it kind of doesn't get a lot of pressure. Is that right?
Yeah, it definitely limits it. It's about an hour and a half inland from Mazatlan, and so usually people aren't going to just drive to the lake and fish it. You need to be organized with a lodge or a travel agent like myself to get you there and tell you how to do it. Set you up with the guide. So everybody who fishes it is guided only, who really respect the fish. And the locals are commercially fishing for tilapia. They don't want the bass. There isn't really anything they can do with them. You know, yes, they might feed their family here and there, but they're interested in the tilapia. And so the owner of the lodges down there have really given back to the community to help them out, you know, with their businesses. To help with his, as far as, because he wants the bass, they want the tilapia. So it's been a really good system down there. to keep everybody happy.
Something that you mentioned also about the food supply, we had Bill Shedd on last, I guess it was last week, and we were talking about some about the life cycle of fish and how long they live. And, you know, we'd mentioned Dorado or mahi-mahi, depending on where you come from, or in Florida, it's a dolphin fish. And I guess at SeaWorld or Hubs Institute, his dad took a fry from a Dorado, which was, you know, just, you know, what, 4, 5, 6 inches long or something like that. And they kept it and fed it pretty much whatever it wanted to eat. Now, normally to go from an egg to 20 pounds, they can do that in 2 years. So they, you know, they do grow quickly. But this one in particular that they verified, within 18 months, it was 67 pounds.
Whoa.
So I think that what that tells us, there's a lot more to the size of the fish than how long it's been in the water.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And they've done a lot of studies on bass as well on that. And mm-hmm. I've talked to biologists that have studied 10-year-old bass that are only a pound. Mm. And they're just not getting the food that they need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where some of these bass can put on a lot of weight each year, especially the ones that are down in rainbow trout. And, you know, a bass will eat anything they can get their mouth around. So when they are given those food, they can really pack on the pounds quickly. And I've seen a 4 or 5 pound bass swimming around with a 2 pound trout hanging out. And they'll actually digest the first half of the trout and swim around with the tail hanging out of their mouth,
right,
while they put down the first half, and then the second half goes down.
Right. You know, I don't want to delay you, but that reminds me of a real quick story, if you don't mind, about the bass angler that showed up for at the lake, and he ran out of bait. He was looking around, and he saw a snake in the water with a frog in its mouth. So, you know, he was able to snag the snake, take the frog off, and he's got the snake in his hand. So he goes, now what do I do? He goes, well, I don't want to get bit. So he took a little bit of his Jack Daniels, pour it down the snake's mouth, put it back in the water, and he was out using the frog to catch fish. Well, about 3 minutes later, he felt a little thing around his feet, and here was the snake back with two frogs in his mouth. Oh, sorry about that. That was terrible, but... But anyway, we're going to have to talk some more because we're running out of time. I wasted all your precious time. But talk a little bit more about bass. Now, I know that you'd go to a lot of different places, and this is kind of a wild question, but other than bass, what is one of your top favorite fishes to catch?
Oh, outside of bass? Probably white, well, that's still a bass. Well, I was going to say white sea bass, but mm-hmm. that's outside of largemouth. You know, steelhead is a pretty amazing fish to go after, mm-hmm. and this is the time of year when we start thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be going on a steelhead trip here in the beginning of November.
Is that the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, it's up on the Trinity River, mm-hmm. Up in California is where we're thinking about going.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a time of year where you can really take advantage of some of those fisheries when these big, you know, sea-run rainbows start coming back up, and it can be pretty exciting. So,
right.
You know, and then, you know, you're trying to get me away from bass here, but I was going to mention the peacock bass.
Oh, yeah.
On the Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's such a unbelievable game
right.
fish.
Right.
This ferocious top water, and, you know, mm-hmm. these bass get up to 20 pounds.
Well, so. I got some in Panama in Lake Gatun, and then also apparently they planted them in Florida and in some of the canals you can get them. But I think the ones you're talking about are the ones that get big, and these other ones are kind of a smaller strain. But yeah, that's apparently one of the most sought after game fish there is.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different species of peacock bass. There's mm-hmm. quite a few, and even when you're out on the Amazon, you have to try and figure out which one you caught because there's a bunch of them.
Uh-huh. And, well, of course, they all have a little blue spot on their head or on their side?
Yeah, depending if it's male and female. And I know there's I'm blanking out on her name, but there's a okay. woman who's trying to break some records right now on
okay.
the peacock bass.
Well, we'll track her down.
Yeah, and she's having trouble figuring out which species she's catching.
Got it.
So
okay, well, it looks like we have finished it up, and it's bluewatertours.com, correct?
Breakwatertours.com.
Breakwatertours.com, I'm sorry. Okay, breakwatertours.com. Check out Jason, and let's go fishing. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to...
The Santa Barbara Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-383-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep sea adventure by calling 805-383-1612.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040. 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espirito Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's a beautiful day. What do you say? Let's go fishing. What a wonderful way to spend the day. The water on the lake is smooth as butter. Let's go fishing. The water on the lake is smooth as glass. We might catch a sunny, we might catch a bass. Oh, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say?
Come on, let's go fishing.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and what an interesting subject. We're going to talk to Jason a lot more when we can. And remember that Labor Day's come and gone, and winter's coming on, but that doesn't mean it's time to put your fishing gear away. He was mentioning about the steelhead, of course, and their best time to catch them was actually when there might even be some snow on the ground. So keep that in mind. We're going to see if we can track a couple other people down, as we do. See if we can get somebody on the line with a cell phone. I think we want to, Scott Brown from Chrysler. I'm anxious to talk to him because they've got a new vehicle with a diesel engine that's coming out real quick. And right now. I'm sorry about that. And so we're going to see if we can track him and down and do that. But unfortunately, he's on the phone talking to somebody else right now. So we're going to keep going. One of the things I would like to mention, and we'll do that once or twice because I always forget, is Fish Talk Radio and Real Fun Adventures are almost one and the same. Real Fun Adventures, we like to do hosted trips. We have one coming up very beginning of November. It's the 3rd to the 7th. It is going to be in the East Cape, which is in southern Baja, right on the Sea of Cortez, north of Cabo San Lucas. And in my mind, one of the finest fishing areas in the world, again. We're not talking about just as good. As far as value and what's available to you, it's got to be one of the best areas anywhere to fish. And we have a trip, and it is $645. which includes 4 nights accommodation, 2 days cruiser fishing, and then, of course, we got some other prizes and some other stuff going on. So if you're interested in that, the best way is to just let me know John at fishtalkradio.com. I'm sorry? Okay. But right now, we're going to go to Channel Islands. We have a very dynamic angler lady, Amy, and she is at Channel Island Sport Fishing. And it's been a great year. Amy, give us an idea. Well, first of all, Channel Island Sport Fishing has to do with the Santa Barbara Channel Islands right off our coast.
That's right.
And it is a tremendous fishery. Let's, you know, if you want to take a minute or so and go back to what, you know, what the year's been like, but it's a long ways from over.
Yeah, it is. The fall can often be some of our best times to get out and fish. It has been an exceptional year. We had some great numbers of sea bass and yellowtail come up, a couple halibut here and there, just, you know, monsters. So it has. It's been a great year so far.
Is that all?
No, not all. There's, you know, it's been great weather-wise, too, as well. It's been nice.
Well, nice as far as weather, as far as fishing, but the Santa Barbara Channel is interesting because they're, you don't always know what you're going to get when you put your line in the water. They have, you know, the currents that come from the north and south, they kind of meet right at that area, right at the basically the center of California where it starts cutting to the east. And the channel itself, you know, with the islands, it's a very interesting and unique area where you can find a lot of different kinds of fish, and of course, a lot of them are seasonal.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. We're very lucky to have the islands right here in our backyard and have the opportunity to fish them whenever we want to. And, of course, you know, just makes for great scenery.
Okay. Well, and right now, if you want to go down out there, you have plenty of boats available. And what is it we're fishing for these days again?
Right now, there's been a lot of rockfish still. There's still some sea bass biting, some halibut, some yellowtail. And then we have lobster season starting on the 28th. So we're really looking forward to that as well.
That's fun. That's fun. You can get on the boat and actually catch your own lobster.
Yeah.
And you do that in the evening, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. They leave at 5:30, come back around 11, and it's really a lot of fun.
Yeah. So get your hot coffee or hot chocolate or
absolutely,
or whatever else you need to keep you warm.
Hot toddy.
Hot toddy. I didn't say that, but that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Well, best thing to do, of course, is to get online and check out, and you might get lucky and give a call at 805 area code, and that is 382-1612, and talk to Amy, but is it ciscos.com? Is that correct?
Yeah, that is. That's correct.
C-I-S-C-O-S.
Yep, that's it.
You're awesome. Thank you, and
thank
let's go
you.
Lobster fishing.
Talk to you soon.
All righty. Okay, we are going to go now with Scott Brown, and Scott has another one of those jobs that everybody likes to have. He represents the Chrysler Jeep products, and we were talking the other day, Scott, if you don't mind, a little about some of the new things that are coming out for 2014.
Yeah, hey, John, how are you?
It just keeps getting better.
lots of great stuff from us. You know, today I'm out at a ranch, and we've got the media out. We're showing them the new trucks, Ram trucks for 2014, and one of the big things that we're showing is a light-duty diesel in the Ram 1500.
And the, you know, one of the things that's been happening recently is the price of gasoline, of course, it hasn't gotten any better.
Right.
And, you know, driving an SUV or a pickup is becoming, it's like, you know, it used to be, you know, that was something if you owned a farm or you had a use for it. But almost everybody, and SUV has become the car of choice for soccer moms, for anglers, for boaters, and you know it. So it's ubiquitous. So, have they been able to do anything to increase the mileage on any of those?
Well, yeah, and that's another thing. For 14, we've got that same diesel engine that we're putting in the Ram trucks, we're putting in the Grand Cherokee. And behind that, you've got an 8-speed automatic transmission. And so, you know, you're getting mid to high 20s on a full-size SUV
from a fuel economy standpoint. And a Grand Cherokee, it'll tow a 7,200-pound trailer. So, and the Ram diesel, the light-duty diesel, will haul up to a 92-pound trailer. And again, you're talking mid-20s from a four-wheel drive truck with a diesel engine. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago that if you wanted a capable SUV or a capable pickup truck, you know, your fuel economy is going to be in the teens at best.
Oh, yeah, low teens. Yeah.
Yeah, at best. So, right. this new light-duty diesel is just, it's a 3-liter, 420 pound-feet of torque, 240 mm-hmm. horsepower, just a phenomenal, you know, from a capability standpoint, whether it's in the truck or in the Grand Cherokee, just a phenomenal product.
Well, let me point something out. If people are listening, if they got about a pencil and piece of paper, yeah, it's not uncommon to spend $100 a week on gasoline. If you drive any distance, and especially if you've got to drive something other than a little small mini car. So if you are able to double your gas mileage and you're spending $100 a week, just off the top of my head, that sounds like you're saving about $200 a month, which, you know, really much justifies you going out and buying a new vehicle.
Just about. I mean, that helps with the payment for sure.
Right. Well, also, we're going to talk about diesels, and I want to hear a lot more about it. But before we do that, I want to comment a little bit about Jeep. And we had the opportunity, I guess it was last year now, that we went up to a small lake right up above Mammoth. And there's a particular type of much sought after, very rare, very few people have ever caught, which is a golden trout. But in order to get to this area, they usually live around 9 to 11,000 feet, from what I understand. The road that went up, you go Mammoth a little bit towards 395, and then you get this dirt road, and you start climbing, and then climbing some more. And it's kind of on this the little road. I wouldn't call it a road. I'm not even a cow path would be a proper name for it. But all the way up, the road was narrow, and it was filled with rocks or boulders about the size of bowling balls.
Right.
And these were not the kind of things that you could go around because the road was narrow and there was too many of them. You had to go over them and literally crawl over them. Well, I don't believe that there's a vehicle that you could drive off the showroom floor that could make that drive. I mean, if you got a tricked out off-road thing, that's one thing, but something that you could go to the store in and then use it for going to that access. And if you didn't have a vehicle like that, you couldn't get there.
Right.
But that was very, very impressive. And, you know, and I guess most of we had a truck, and there was a Wrangler or something? What did we have on that?
Yeah, we actually had a couple of Wranglers. We had a Grand Cherokee, and then we had the Ram Power Wagon.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think I was in the Cherokee. That was comfortable.
Right.
You just kind of don't look over the edge.
Right. Yeah, if you remember, I think it was like a 3-mile long trail, mm-hmm. but it took us almost 2 hours to drive that 3 miles because it was so steep.
Well,
and
it was walking speed. I don't think it was quite that long, but it was. You know, you weren't going very fast. That's for sure.
Right. Right.
But, you know, you wouldn't want to walk it. You couldn't walk it. So unless you had a horse, if you wanted to drive your gear up there, I that's really what it takes. And that's what Jeep's about.
Right. Yeah. No, it's the refinement. It's the safety. It's the fuel economy. But it also has to maintain the capability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jeep and Ram are all about is we realize that people, you know, they still want to get out there and do things, whether you're trying to get to that lake, you know, on existing trails and roads, or whether you're hauling a boat, you know, we have to maintain that capability.
Right.
It's fun.
Scott, we're going to do something for you because you're so special. We normally divide the show into segments. And what we're going to do is, because you were on the phone when we first tried to get you, we're going to hold you over to the next break for about 5 or 6 minutes, if you don't mind doing that.
Nope, that's awesome.
And there's a couple of things, and maybe some people are thinking about it, but you're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we're going to be back in 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years' experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Want to make your drive more exciting? It starts with Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline. It's Ferrari's choice for improved performance. Shell V-Power removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. And it starts with your very first tank. The result is the kind of performance that gives you more excitement behind the wheel. Choose Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline today and let the excitement begin.
Welcome back, Fish Talk Radio, and we again do something we don't normally do, but Scott is so interesting and such a high-profile person that he's hard to get in touch with. We've got him right now, so we didn't want to let him go. Scott, we just got through talking about some of the new products, and we commented on the clearance and the ability of some of your vehicles if you really, really need to crawl over rocks. But we talked a little bit about fuel economy and diesel. Would you mind giving a couple of minutes and just concentrate on that particular engine? It's available to be put into some of your different lines. But let's talk about that engine itself, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I know. It's a light-duty diesel. I think a lot of people realize that Ram trucks, we've had that big Cummins engine, a 6.7-liter class-leading engine. It'll haul a trailer up to 30,000 pounds, up to like 800 pound-feet of torque. But that's mainly in our heavy-duty trucks. Those big engines are like an $8,000 option. It's for the guys that are hauling big, big stuff and driving lots of miles. There has not been a light-duty diesel for decades. What I mean by light-duty is a diesel engine, smaller diesel engine in the half-ton pickup trucks. Our relationship with Fiat, they partially own a company called VM Motori, mm-hmm. which is an engine powertrain company in Italy, and they've got a really nice 3-liter diesel engine, so it's a nice small diesel engine. We put an 8-speed automatic transmission behind that. It pumps out about 420 pound-feet of torque.
Wow.
And about 240 horsepower. And just to give you an example, when we started putting Cummins engines in Ram trucks, back in 1987, the original 5.9-liter engine got about 400 pound-feet of torque. And so this engine is half the size, and it's got more torque than that original diesel engine.
Let's repeat that again. 400 foot-pounds of torque, and the torque, most people have an understanding, but the torque is what actually twists the wheels and makes them turn. Pulling power.
Yeah, torque is pulling power. Torque is the muscle. You know, a lot of people liken horsepower to, you know, go fast, mm-hmm. you know, the hot rodders and stuff like that. But torque is what works. And so for the guys that are pulling boats, they want torque. And torque is typically, especially in diesel engines, it's available at very low RPMs.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's what you want when you're pulling something out of a boat well. You know, you don't want to be revving your engine. You want your engine just to be working at 1,000, 1,500 RPMs, and you want that power right then and there.
That is incredible.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the exciting thing is, you know, people that had light-duty trucks that, you know, they're not pulling anything over 8,000 pounds. And the new light-duty Ram with this diesel engine will haul a trailer up to 9,200 pounds. You know, and there's a lot of people that are pulling bass boats. You know, they're pulling smaller trailers, 4,000 pounds, 3,000 pounds, 6,000 pounds. Well, this truck, you know, will be an unbelievable asset there. They're quiet. Again, lots of torque, great fuel economy.
Well, so. I know that one of the problems with diesel engines in the past is the pollution. So,
right.
You know, but what they've done is obviously solved that problem. But you're talking about torque that's probably three times that what you would expect from a gas engine similar to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, like a 3.6 liter Pentastar engine, you know, gets right around 260 pound-feet of torque.
Mm-hmm.
So a gas engine that's bigger, you know, gets around 150,
yeah.
almost 200 pound-feet of torque less than this engine.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, one thing, the engines have, they're a lot cleaner from an emission standpoint. We do add urea. There are particulate traps. There's a lot that we have to do. And the engines, they do cost a premium because mm-hmm. they are more expensive to make. But, you know, when you're going to be doubling your fuel economy, and for those guys that are towing,
right.
you're definitely going to be doubling your fuel economy.
Well, also, everybody knows the longevity of diesels and the
right.
simplicity to operate. So that
right.
sounds very exciting. How would you recommend people find more information about that engine and maybe where it can be used?
You know, ramtrucks.com.
Oh, so that's easy.
That's the best place is just go to ramtrucks.com.
Fantastic. Scott, this is exciting. We're going to have to bring you back and talk some more about it. But it sounds like technology is finally coming fully around in the automotive and now in the light truck stage. So appreciate that, Scott.
Thanks, John.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. We're going to see if we can find Tony at Diamond Valley Lake, which is actually it is a jewel in California. Tony, you there? Okay. And first of all, it is a jewel, and it hasn't been around that long. And it was a lake that was one of the few reservoirs that I think that before they built it, they realized the recreation possibilities of it, and
mm-hmm.
they kind of created it as they built it. Would that sound right?
Yes, definitely.
And can you give us a little bit of an idea of where it is and, you know, what it makes that lake a little bit more special?
Well, the fishing here is phenomenal, and all summer it's been pretty good. We are actually having our 10-year anniversary. You said it wasn't here for too long, but we're actually having our 10-year anniversary in October. We're going to be having some little activities and seminars and stuff. So.
I know, I realized that, yeah. I misspelled it on the paper, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, again, when it was built, you know, they kind of built in some structure, and then, of course, still some leaves or trees and shrubs are left in that. But
yes.
Can you give us a little bit more information about the lake itself and how deep, how wide, and what they did to it to create this? And are they stocking the lake?
We're actually going to be stocking probably at the end of October to mid-November. We're going to be stocking trout. And we normally stock trout every 2 weeks during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And we stock 2,000 pounds normally every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the lake, we are, I believe, 4.5 miles long and 2.5 miles wide.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, our elevation is 1714, which means we're about 42 feet down because they were taking water out all summer. But they built this, I think they started building it in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And they found lots of fossils.
Yeah.
Fossils.
As a matter of fact, they've got a kind of a little, I don't know if you'd call it a museum or
a
visitor center there that they've put together some of the skeletons they've found. It's fascinating.
Yes. There's a museum and a visitor center, and mm-hmm. both have information on what they found in the lake. So.
That is fascinating. You know, it kind of makes you wonder what's down there, especially, you know, I'm not a geologist, and I'd like to learn more about it, because you've got a desert that appears to, you know, been at best the floor of an ocean at one time, and they dig down and they find all these fascinating creatures that were here a long time before we were.
Exactly.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit more about the accommodations and facilities that you have there. It's a day-use lake, right?
Yes, we're day-use. We're open every day of the year except for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we go with the sun, so we close, or we open at sunrise and close an hour before sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And we have boat rentals, we have bike rentals. You can go hiking or bike riding on our trails. You can just go for a boat ride, go fishing. We have lots of things to do here, even though it's only day use.
As we move into the fall, is it time to put your gear away and stack it up for the winter? What's it like fishing that lake in the fall and winter?
It's actually pretty phenomenal, especially for trout, since we stock trout every couple of weeks. It's good for trout and striper. Striper will start feeding on the trout, so using anything that looks like a trout as a lure will catch you a striper.
Well, we were talking to someone earlier about putting trout in some of the lakes, and you can catch the trout, but it's primarily bass food.
That's what they call the trout when we stock it. They call it striper food. So.
Striper food. Oh, I'll tell you what. Now, stripers are, and I assume you get out there once in a while, so you've been able to hook some?
Definitely. I've hooked a 20-pound striper before, and they're really good eating, I could tell you that.
They are some of the best, you know, really kind of light white meat that's without bones and very, very tasty. So, you know, if you want to keep one and take it home with you, I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
But, and especially, you know, when we talk about fishing and lakes, and we're talking to Jason about bass fishing, you never, you know, kill a smallmouth or a big mouse. But striped bass are a little bit different from that, especially when you're in an area like you are, where it's kind of a put-and-take lake.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to put the stripers in the lake. You just have to feed them. Does that sound about right?
Pretty much. They are, I mean, the limit here for striper is 10 per person. So we have so much stripe in here. They grow so fast, their population. So it's just, that's why the limit is so much, because, I mean, we're trying to get our lots of striper out of here since we have so many.
Whoa. Well, if you need some help.
Yeah.
Now, do you catch those from the shore? Do you need a boat, or can you do whatever you want, or what do you recommend?
You can catch them from the shore, especially when we stock the trout, because normally when we stock it off of our launch ramp, and there's a shoreline access right next to the launch ramp. So, but I always recommend getting a boat, because you always have more access to the lake and different areas of the lake, and chances are better on a boat, but you can still catch fish on offshore line.
Well, is there any chance that you might be able to give me some secret information about when you're going to be stocking?
I don't know for sure.
You're not allowed to say, are you?
Well, actually, no. We actually have to go off the water, surface water temperature. So as soon as it reaches 72 degrees, then we can start stocking trout. But right now, it's at about 81 or 82.
Right. Well, I can tell you one of the favorite things that somebody that likes to catch fish is the tanker trucks that they use. You find one driving down the road, follow it.
Exactly. So many people do that. It's pretty funny. and not only we stock, but Fish and Game also stock trout.
Right.
And we never really know when they're going to stock. They stock on the other side of the lake. But.
Gotcha. Okay, well, let's get some information from you, Tani. It's Diamond Valley Lake, and there's a website, I believe. Is it? I remember. I'll let you tell me.
It's dvmarina.com.
dvmarina.com.
Yes.
And then you can check on that. Give Tani a call at Diamond Valley, and she'll give you some tips, and she might even tell you when they're going to stock.
Yes, definitely. Okay. As soon as I know, I promise I will let everybody know.
Thank you, Tani, so much. We appreciate you coming on.
Right,
you are listening to Fish Talk Radio, and of course, we're going to take a quick break and get on with a lot more fun.